This morning's scripture comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is God's word for us this morning. Well, 2 weeks ago we began this new Advent sermon series looking at Matthew 2 by examining who these Magi were. And we left off that discussion by asking what it was about this star that absolutely convinced these Gentile astrologers to take a month-long journey each way, all the way to Jerusalem, to find a baby they had no way of knowing for certain was even born. But before we can figure that out, we must answer the question of what the Star of Bethlehem was. And then on Christmas Eve, we'll be able to examine how the star indicated to the Magi that the Jewish Messiah was born. And it's fascinating. Much of the information I'll be sharing with you comes from a book that my former seminary professor wrote. His name is Colin Nickel. He's an Irish guy. He spoke with his Irish accent. It was so fun to listen to in class. But I won't give you the title of his book because it kind of gives away the punchline. Now, before we figure out what the Star of Bethlehem was, let's go back through our passage here in Matthew 2 to gather up all the information we can about this star. Well, the first mention of the star occurs in verse 2 when the Magi asked King Herod, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Well, first, this star somehow was able to indicate that there was a birth, that it was a king of some sort, and this was a Jewish king. And how all of those things were associated with the star, that's what we're going to talk about on Christmas Eve, so we're going to kind of let it lie today. Second, the Magi state that they saw his star in the east. Now, if you were to open up your Bibles, though, and look at this verse, there is a footnote here where there is a different reading that is just as good. That's instead of it saying, "We saw a star in the east," it says, "We saw his star when it rose." Now, either way, it rose in the east because that's what all the planets and all the stars do, because that's the way the earth rotates. So everything rises in the east and sets in the west. So we know it was some sort of celestial object in orbit up in the sky when it rose over the eastern horizon. Then we find out in verse 7 that Herod asked about the exact time the star first appeared. From our message last week, we remember that the reason why Herod asked about the time of the star was so that if he was unable to find the baby Messiah himself for a targeted assassination, he could find out the general age of how long the general length the star was in the sky so that he could just simply kill all of the baby boys who were born since the time the star first was seen. And in verse 16, we find out that children who were 2 years old or under. 2 years, excuse me, 2 years old and under. So what we can take from this is the star was in the sky for at least 12 months and possibly more. Because in ancient Jewish reckoning of years, it was kind of done inclusively. So that on the 13th month of a child or a star in the sky or something, it was considered to be in their second year. And so what we learn is that the star must have been visible in the sky for at least a year, perhaps as long as 2 years. Verse 9, it says that the star they had seen in the east, or when it rose, if you take the alternate reading, it went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. So we learn that the same star that rose in the east and set in the west, somehow it moved to the southern sky and was able to lead the Magi to Bethlehem. And not only that, it didn't just lead them to Bethlehem, but it stopped over the place where the child was. It took him to the exact location of Jesus. So again, the star didn't just lead them to Bethlehem, because Bethlehem is only 5 miles away from Jerusalem downhill. If you're in Jerusalem, you see the fires of Bethlehem. There's Bethlehem. There's a main road. It takes you to Bethlehem. You don't need a star to find Bethlehem. You don't need anything. You just follow the road, the 5 miles to Bethlehem. So what this star did was able to pinpoint the exact building, the exact location where Jesus was. So these are the five factors we'll need to consider when we look at the potential candidates for what this star of Bethlehem was. The star indicated that there was a Jewish Messiah who was a king had been born. It rose in the eastern sky and for at least 12 months, possibly longer. It then moved to the southern sky and led the Magi to Bethlehem, where it pinpointed the exact building where Jesus was. This is going to be interesting. So let's take a look at potential candidates to see if they could fulfill these five criteria. Let's start with just a literal star. I mean, the Bible calls it a star, so why couldn't it just be a star? Well, as I'm sure you can figure out, there are numerous reasons why it couldn't just be a normal star. The rising and setting of stars occurs regularly with the Earth's rotation, so what would it be about at this exact moment that would indicate to them that a Jewish king had been born? Also, a bigger problem, of course, is the fact that the star was said to move to the southern sky and led the Magi. Now, of course, stars are so far away. They are light years away that they appear stationary in the sky. A star cannot move in a matter of weeks from the eastern sky to the southern sky. So that is a big problem, and that's why a regular star has got to be out. Well, some have wondered or guessed maybe it was a nova or a supernova, which, of course, is a massive nuclear explosion of a dying star that causes it to increase its brightness by 100 to 1,000,000-fold. Well, again, like a regular star, a nova or a supernova, it just can't move through the constellations. It couldn't be in the western sky setting and then be in the southern sky a few days later. Just impossible. So it, too, is out as a possible candidate. Well, what about a meteor streaking through the sky? A falling star, if you will. Well, again, unfortunately, there are many reasons why it couldn't be a meteor as well. You know, a falling star is only visible in the night sky for a matter of seconds, not year or 2 years. But some may wonder, well, maybe it was multiple meteors they saw just at the right time in the right locations. But remember in verse 9, the Magi were making their way to Bethlehem, and it says that the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them. They knew this star. They knew what it was. It was one celestial body. It wasn't two different entities. Well, a very popular theory that's been out there was, what if it was a conjunction of planets, or even a planet with another star of importance? overlapping. Planets, of course, were called wandering stars, so that would fit. Maybe that's the explanation for the Star of Bethlehem. In fact, Jupiter and Saturn overlapped three times in the year 7 BC. But of course, this has problems too. For one, these planets never really completely overlap. So you can look up and you can see two stars very near each other. Of course, these are planets, but they never really overlapped. And again, 7 BC would be way too early for the birth of Jesus. Most historians have it as either 6 BC or 5 BC. Plus, again, the problem is, even here, how could planets in their regular orbits move from one part of the sky to a different complete section of the night sky in a matter of days? Yes, they do orbit, but they're specific orbits that wouldn't allow them to move contrary to those orbits. So again, we're left wanting for another possible candidate. And this has left people to wonder, well, maybe it was just a supernatural phenomenon that God used, a supernatural event. And obviously, God being all-powerful, he could have done something completely miraculous in the sky that fulfilled all of these five factors. But as Nichols says in his book, he says, supernatural explanations are by their nature impossible to falsify. So it could be, and we can't falsify that. But at the same time, he believes that they are positions of last resort. That is, they are adopted only because the description of the star in Matthew 2:9 is deemed to go beyond what could realistically be expected of normal astrological phenomena. So it's possible, but he says, if there's another explanation another normal astrological event that God used, that would be even more kind of amazing and significant. Is there, though? That's the question. Well, there is one remaining astrological phenomena that I believe Canada's account for the five descriptions that we have of the Star of Bethlehem, and that phenomena is a comet. Let's take a look at those five descriptions again and see how a comet lines up. Well, first we're told the star was associated with the birth of the king of the Jews. In other words, this celestial body, the Star of Bethlehem, was a sign. It was able to signal information that something significant was happening. And certainly throughout history, the belief that comets are omens or signs is well documented. In some instances, comets were believed to announce good news, like the birth of a new king. Other times, it was interpreted as omens, especially if you were the king in charge. Then it's a bad thing to see a comet in the sky. Which may wonder, did King Herod see the comet, and did he wonder if this was bad news? And then you have the Magi show up and tell him this is bad news. You can see why it would lead him to do what he did. He was very paranoid, as we learned last week. So yes, it was certainly believed that comets were able to signal information. And just how this comet did that, we'll talk about on Christmas Eve. Second, we find out the Star of Bethlehem rose in the east, set in the west. And a comet, like any other celestial body, would have the ability to rise in the east and set in the west. Just that's because the Earth rotates. And depending where you are, in where it is in the heavens and where you are on Earth, that's certainly possible. Third, it says the Star of Bethlehem was visible in the sky for at least 1 year, possibly two. Well, comets have the ability to be seen in the sky for that length of time. Perhaps, do you remember this comet? Hale-Bopp, back in 1997? It was the last probably major comet that we've seen, and it was visible in the sky for 18 months. So comets absolutely have the ability to be in the sky and be visible for that long. Fourth, we learned that the Star of Bethlehem rose in the east, set in the west, and then moved to the southern sky to lead the Magi from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And here, of course, is where a fixed star, a nova, a supernova, those won't work because they don't have the ability to move that suddenly due to their great distances. A comet, however, does not have this problem. In fact, the closer a comet gets to the Earth, the more it looks like the more it is moving. You can see the movement in the sky. And so within a matter of days, it is certainly possible for a comet to appear in one part of the sky and then a different part, depending on where the Earth and the comet and the sun all are, if they're just in the right spots. But this leaves us with probably the most difficult factor is the fifth one. The star of Bethlehem was said to lead the Magi, looks like it was standing, and it pinpointed the exact location of where the child was. So how could a comet do that? Well, not all comets are the same, and there the references we have here, what the Magi said about it, kind of give us an indication of which type of comet this probably was. Now, what we learn, let me keep going here, is that there are two types of comets. There are short period and long period comets. The short period comets are ones within our own solar system. And so the two circles you see there is the orbit of Jupiter and the orbit of Neptune. And most comets are within the Jupiter orbit. And they take about 200 years to orbit the sun. And because they're also on the same plane as all the planets, so they're all rotating like this. And because they go by their orbit the sun more frequently than long period comets, they burn off more of the ice and more of the dust and more of the elements that make up a comet, meaning that they are less visible to the eye just because of their natural, because they go by the sun more often. However, long period comets aren't like this. These comets don't even live in our solar system, but they do orbit our sun. Their orbits are so large and so long that they spend most of the time outside of our solar system. In fact, their orbits could be hundreds to thousands to even millions of years long. Unlike short-period comets, their orbit is also tilted. So you can see here the plane of Earth and Venus and Mercury circling the sun. And then you see this line of comet Catalina from earlier this year. It's just coming out of nowhere. Most of the other comets are flat, the short ones, on the same plane as the Earth and Venus. But the amazing thing, again, about long-period comets is because they don't go by the sun very often, they have more of their ice and dust and elements, so that when they do come close, they are going to give off amazing tails. And they are going to look amazing. Here, let me give you some examples. Here is the comet RX-14, discovered in 2001. Here's the comet Hyakutake in 1996, and what a beautiful comet that is. And one Elinen from 2011. So here you can see the head of the comet. It's got these long tails. These, by the way, these tails are thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of miles long. It could even be hundreds of thousands of miles long. All right, so all of this brings us back to the fifth factor of the star of Bethlehem that we find in verse 9 that says the star went ahead of them. It looked like it was standing in the sky. And by that standing, it was able to pinpoint the exact location of the child. And we ask again, how could a comet do that? Well, a long period comet with a long tail that was perpendicular to the horizon, setting in the southern sky, could explain all of this. And here's what that would look like. This is going to be the comet Lovejoy, discovered in 2011. You can see the ridge of the mountains there, and you can see as it's setting in that into the ridge, you could pinpoint an exact building on that ridge. The comet, if it's going in the same direction as the Magi with its long tail, would have appeared to them as going on ahead of them. If the long-tailed comet was perpendicular to the horizon, much like we see here in Lovejoy, it would have the appearance of standing over the horizon. And finally, if this long-tailed comet, perpendicular to the horizon, setting in the southern sky, as they arrived in Bethlehem, you could see how the Magi could easily pinpoint an exact building on the landscape of Bethlehem. This comet would have been like a giant celestial pointer directing them to the very place where Mary and Joseph and Jesus were at that moment in time, and that is simply amazing. The star of Bethlehem as a long-period, long-tailed comet also fits in well with some of the earliest descriptions we have of the star of Bethlehem outside the Bible. The church father Ignatius of Antioch, he was a second-generation Christian. In fact, he was a disciple of the Apostle John himself. He wrote this about the Star of Bethlehem as it was described to him, because obviously he wasn't born at that time. Here's what Ignatius wrote. A star shone in the heavens with a brightness beyond all stars. Its light was indescribable, and its newness caused astonishment. And all the rest of the stars, together with the sun and moon, formed a chorus to the star, yet its light far exceeded them all. And there was perplexity regarding where this new entity came, so unlike anything else in the heavens was it. Now, he's probably using hyperbole to say, suggest that it was brighter than the sun. It certainly wouldn't have been brighter than the sun. But this description sure fits in well with a long-period comet, which can be so bright that it can easily be seen in the daylight, much like the comet Hale-Bopp was in 1997. Day or night, you go outside, and there it was. With all that said, you might be thinking, well, if this is all true, why didn't Matthew just call it a comet instead of a star? Well, there's a reason for that. The ancients often referred to comets as stars. In fact, the ancient historian Pliny often did this. And in 44 BC, he quoted Caesar Augustus, the very guy who ordered the census that caused Mary and Joseph to travel to Bethlehem. He called a comet a hairy star. Well, that makes sense. The comet would look like a hairy star. And there are numerous other ancients who called comets stars, including the Jewish historian Josephus, who wrote, "A star resembling a sword stood over the city, and namely a comet that continued for an entire year." Now, Josephus was not referring to the Star of Bethlehem because he wrote this many years after that happened. But you can see here, he uses the word star and comet interchangeably. And in fact, most consider comets just to be a subset of stars anyway. So, now, like I said earlier, God is all-powerful, and he could have just created a supernatural theological thing to guide the Magi to Bethlehem, and that would be amazing in its own right. But I think what's even more amazing is that when God created the heavens and the earth, he created this comet, again, millions and millions of years ago, and placed it in just the right orbit at just the right time so it would guide the Magi to Jerusalem. Not only to Jerusalem, but to Bethlehem. Not only to Bethlehem, but directly to the very building where the baby Jesus was located. And that is just, to me, absolutely astonishing. It shows you more than just the power of God. It shows you more than the intelligence of God to be able to plan an infinite amount of events and details to make this happen. It not only shows you the beauty of God, he's like a heavenly artist using the night sky as his canvas. I believe it also shows you the love of God, that he would do all of this as a way to speak to these Gentile astrologers to show them who the true King and God of the universe is. And if you think that this is amazing, wait until Christmas Eve when we explore how this comet so convinced the Magi that this Jewish Messiah is about to be born, that they loaded up their camels and took this month-long journey just to worship at his newborn feet. So make sure you're here with us on Christmas Eve. If not, look for us at our website. You can see it there. Next Sunday, the children of our church will share with us the meaning of Christmas. I hope you can make it. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are the one who created the stars, the moon, the sun, the planets, and the comets as well. You set them in place, Father, and you've used them as signs in the heavens. And you certainly use this as a sign to those Magi. It's amazing to think the power it would take to do this. The intelligence and the wisdom to know all, to be able to plan this. It is just beyond what we can fathom. But Father, that's what you are. You are all-knowing. You are all-powerful. And so you can do this, Father. And as we think about this, it just blows our minds and it helps us to worship you even more. Father, we thank you so much for how you continue to show us your might and your wonder and your love. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.